On today's episode, we explore personal and professional perspectives on dating, expectations, and being your true authentic self.
We also explore how consistency is key to making a relationship work.
Hi, Natalie.
We are back. So we were talking about the topic of this episode, and it came up on my Instagram, and somebody asked the question of like, how do you deal with being single, I guess, in a generation full of, people who are getting married and or are married or they're getting engaged. And that's kind of the topic of the century, right? Like when people are getting engaged and married, all they talk about is kind of like their kids or, you know, the events that's the festivities that are coming up. So, I mean, that was a good question. And that's why we, you know, we wanted to talk about it today.
Yeah. It's such a good question. It's like, it's really our reality.
Coming from two single women.
Yes.
Do I say that lightly?
Yeah, you are saying that lightly. Oh, okay, well. I'll let you ease into that slowly.
But, sounds good.
But you know, but it's a total relatable question to us. I mean, I know you and I, you know, we have similar groups of friends and then we have different groups of friends. And I feel like that's our reality, right? Being in a different life space, I guess, compared to most of our other friends who are mostly married and have kids, right?
Yeah. I feel like as, you know, we can relate to them, I feel like, and, but some can't relate to us. Like I have a friend who got married when she was like 21 and stuff. And she's like, you know, she, I guess, lives vicariously through me in my 20s, but like, she didn't do half the things that I did, which is, you know, I don't know, like wake up when I want to and sleep when I want to and go to places, when travel when I want to, you know?
Yeah.
Some of them, they didn't get the chance to do that.
Yeah. But like, I guess like, I mean, because there's so many pros and cons to both sides, right? I always say, I mean, it's so cliche, but like the grass is not greener on the other side, whatever side that is.
Coming from a therapist as well.
Coming from a therapist as well. Exactly. So like, I guess like, I don't know. And I've noticed a big shift in my life recently with my other groups of friends that, you know, it's not that I don't have things in common with them. We do, but conversation is so different.
Right.
I feel like it's a conversational thing where it's, you can be understanding and supportive all day long, but like you can't always relate. And I feel like that creates this like disconnect with connection, right?
But also I think a lot of the times it could be surface level. And as a therapist, you're so much more consciously aware. As a therapist and as someone who goes to therapy, you know what I mean? You're so much more consciously aware. Sometimes it's surface level and sometimes it just doesn't resonate as much, you know, because we're deeper, we get deeper into conversations.
Right.
And I, for me in particular, sometimes I get bored in conversations with others.
But see, on the contrary, like when I hear you say deeper, I really try to put myself in other people's shoes. Right. And like, I know both of us do. And so think about it like this, like imagine a person who is in a different space than like, let's say we are, right? And the type of conversation they're having about their kids, about their school mom drama, about whatever it may be, right? Like that's deep for them. It's not deep for me. It seems very surface level for me. And I feel like this is like where the lack of connection occurs, you know, where then to your point, it is surface level, but you don't always, even as a therapist, I know for me, like I said, because this is so such my reality recently more than ever, where it's like, wait a minute, I still feel like, oh, what's going on in my friendships? Why am I not feeling connected? It's not until like, let's say I talk to you about it or I talk to my therapist about it where I realize it, but it's a really big thing. And it's like, I'm not going to cut my friends off. Yeah. So I feel like that's why I love this question, because like, how do you deal with it? How do you handle it? Right? Like, does that make sense?
Yeah, but I think, and I think the answer to how to deal with it is, has something to do with mindset, right? Because I think this, let's go back to the stereotypical version of like, you know, like single women are just like really sad, pathetic people who can't find.
So not true.
I know, but there is, it's marginalized, right? Like the idea of like single women, you know, are they happy? Are they not? But I know research has shown that women who are single in their 40s or they get married in their 40s, or late 40s, they're actually more happier than, let's say, people who got married in their when they were 21. You know, that's science.
Right.
So I just feel like, you know, there's a stereotype and I feel like we grew up in a culture where, you know, like women are supposed to get married and settle down and like, I don't know, like procreate and have kids and then what?
Right.
You know, where like no one teaches you like what happens if you have issues with your partner? Is that happiness? You know,
right.
Some people decide not to like get married later on in life and they just, you know, find a partner and they're happy with them. You know, I just think that there's too many, like, you know, what's good, what's bad, what's right, what's wrong in our culture. And I just feel like it's subjective for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't, and by no means, you know, do I not want to be in a relationship and for you too, or married with kids, right? I know you feel the same way,
but
I definitely think that it's shifting your mindset, right? I guess like, yeah, going back to like that, I keep thinking of the table and I keep thinking of like circle of friends and I keep thinking of like different types of friends. And then you're in that circle, I guess like there is a level of projection, right? Like there is a level of like, how do you feel about yourself being single and being around your group of friends who are not single, whether they're engaged or in relationships or married, right? I guess it's like, the question is, how do you feel about it? Because how you feel about it is what you will project in your conversations, right?
Yeah. And maybe what you feel and, you know, like just kind of going about that question is like, maybe they feel lonely. Maybe they're feeling like they're doing something wrong by not being, you know, not being married or engaged or with children by now. You know what I mean? There's a sense of like, what is wrong with me, quote unquote, when there isn't anything wrong with you. It's just like the majority of people are getting married or they're married or are getting engaged, but you're the minority.
Right.
So it just feels like what's wrong with me, but there's nothing wrong with you. You know, why can't we praise women? Let's say, speaking of, we're women, right? Praise women for also being single and enjoying life until they find the right person. And you just never know when the right person is going to come. Why not be happy with yourself?
Yeah, totally. I mean, yeah, it's so hard. It's, I mean, we like we get that. I get that. You get that. Here I'm pointing at my head like, okay, intellectual, we, you know, intellectualize all day long.
What is it
long.
Called? Your eye, you're pointing at the middle
eye. I'm pointing at my middle eye right now because my middle eye knows. What is it? Is that what it's called?
I think
the
middle
eye? Yeah. But it's like what you feel, right? Like, and I'm pointing at where, like where our heart is, our chest is, right? Like, I feel like it's a lot of societal stuff. I feel like it's a cultural thing. It could be a cultural thing, societal thing. Obviously there's a biological factor as well, right? If you want to have kids, not necessarily for marriage, but like for kids, but even that, I feel like there's just so many options.
Yeah.
But I feel like we have us as single women or not married, right? Like, and with kids is, the mindset we have to have is like, okay, make the best out of it. If you want to maintain these relationships, make the best out of it.
Yeah, but let's be honest.
Yeah.
Would life be the same if we didn't have each other, like you and I?
No.
You know what I mean? Like, because like
being a single woman?
I also have a lot of, being a single woman, being like, you know,
like single, not married and with kids.
Yeah, not married and with kids. Exactly. Yeah. So like, would it be this, do you think life would have been the same? Because honestly, as I have my single, like, I have very limited single friends. You know what I mean? So it was like one or two I can count. You know what I mean? One, two, three, whatever.
Right.
Not that many. But most of them are married and they have kids, right? But I feel like things changed when I met you because I was so single. Mm-hmm. I was getting out of a toxic relationship. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just not the same. Like if I'm like, hey, let's go hiking. You're like, sure.
Right.
Versus like a married friend would be like, wait, let me check if there's a babysitter. Let me check if my, you know, husband could do it. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of different planning there versus like you and I.
Right.
It was just easy to flow with, you know, to flow. And even traveling, right? We traveled together. So I just don't think life would have been the same if we didn't have each other as single friends.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. You know? I feel like that's, that's a part of the reason why we've gravitated towards one another. I feel like there's a huge availability, you know, component, like when it comes to people who are not available. I don't know. I don't think being single is the worst thing in the world. I really don't.
No, I think it's actually the best thing in the world.
I mean, I can't say the best either.
I mean, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Like there was a point in my life that I just, maybe it was because I was in toxic relationships. Like I just felt like, oh my God, this is freedom. This is peace. And I just feel like maybe I needed that. And I just like craved for that. When I got it, I'm like, this feels really, really good. Yeah. Not having to, I don't know, like ask anybody, not even ask, but you know, you got to have that level of respect with like a partner.
Right.
When you partner up with someone, you're not going to be like, hey, I'm going to go out of town every weekend. I don't care about you.
Right. I guess, you know? Yeah, the freedom element of it is huge. Like it's such a big deal. I do not, I've been single for a minute now. I've been single for years. And, you know, there's so many pros and cons to it. And I really don't, I feel like it's the way you look at it. I feel like it's all in perspective. I feel like even if like, let's say one of us were to get married tomorrow, it's still, it's all in perspective. Like I will probably never find another Natalie, right? But I will probably have another friend or someone else I will gravitate towards if I have that open mindset. So it's, I feel like it's all in perspective.
And but also it's like, sorry to interrupt, but it's like my partner, my partner better like be partnered up with you too. So
yeah. If we get into a relationship,
he's marrying you too.
Yeah. I'm getting married with you guys. It's like totally. We're not talking about polyamorous here. We're just talking about some of the other benefits.
We're just talking about attachment. We're too attached.
Yeah. No, but, you get what I'm saying? Like it's all in perspective. And I just think that, there's just so much negativity. Like, I don't know. Do you ever experience this? I love my friends. I really do. And I have some really good close friends that I've known for a long time, but it's interesting. Sometimes they'll say things like, oh, don't worry. Like your guy's going to come, or, oh, don't worry. Don't worry about it. It's not you. I'm like, wait a minute. I didn't say it was me, you know, like it just hasn't happened and it's okay. Do you ever feel like you almost get a little bit of pity right? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not
because
friends, family too.
Yeah, because in their perspective, it's like, you know, especially the older, again, it's a belief system, right? Like we grew up in a culture, at least for our culture, we're Armenian. We grew up in a culture where it's like, you know, you have to be married and you have to have kids at a certain age.
Yeah.
And if you have the first kid, they're going to ask you when you're going to have the second kid.
So normal.
Right. So if you're engaged, they're going to ask you when you're getting married, you know, like too much.
Right.
I think like it's a little too much.
Yeah.
And you know, people don't realize it could come from a very judgmental place.
Yeah.
And it can really hurt somebody's feelings. Maybe that person does want to get married and can't, or whatever the reason is, or maybe that person wants to get pregnant and they can't, right? It's like, why ask? You know, you have to, I think it's empathy. I think people lack empathy at times.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
How many times do you get clients like that are single, that want to be in a relationship, but when you start working with them, you realize like, wait a minute. Yeah. As much as you want to be in a relationship, there's actually some commitment issues happening for you. And, or there's some unrealistic expectations that you have that's either causing you to be with the wrong person or constantly be in relationships with the wrong type of person. You know what I mean? Like they fit the checklist because of your expectations, you know, someone who is money or someone who, you know, is good looking and is this
educated,
et cetera, et cetera. And they fit check. But it's like, wait a minute, but like, do your morals and do your values, is there some form of alignment to that?
Where's the emotional connection?
Or the emotional connection. Yeah. How many times does that happen for you?
Way too many times.
It happens like all the freaking time.
Way too many times.
And then like people get married, at least from, maybe this is our freaking issue.
But I mean, we're conditioned, right? Yeah. I mean, I was conditioned to be like, oh, like if you're not a lawyer or a doctor, are you going to marry a lawyer or a doctor? And it got me in trouble, you know, with that belief system.
Right.
And it's not just because I was going for like status quo. You know what I mean? I was going for like
a man of status.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, but like no one teaches you how about like, you know, what they value. Do they value respect? Do they value honor? Do they value respect,
right?
You know,
right?
And do they value you in all your glory and who you are? You know, I just don't think that I was taught that, like growing up, you know. And like I just remember like my aunt's, you know, voice in my head, like, when are you gonna get married? I'm like, at some point, I was like, listen, it's none of your business. In a way, I'm just like, you know, I'm very happy. It's, you know, and I'm content. And then I just walk away. You just set a boundary. But that's the thing, right? It goes back to, how do you deal with that?
Right.
How
do you deal with like that information, like that stuff that's coming to you?
The influence, maybe?
From the family and friends? Like when it, Yeah, totally. How do you deal with it? I feel like circling it back to what I was saying earlier, I feel like it's all in your own perspective. And by the way, I'm saying that, and again, I'm human. So like I have to check myself daily with that, right? But I feel like if you feel a certain way about yourself when it comes to being whatever type of category you're in, and in this case, single, then you're going to project that. If you feel sorry for yourself, if you feel like what's wrong with me, whether you're aware of that or not, I feel like that's going to come out, right? Like, you know what I mean?
And I get that a lot with clients.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I get like what's wrong with me? Like, yeah. You know, like I dated somebody and you know, this person felt so good and so comfortable. And right. All of a sudden, like, and they were all in right away. And mm-hmm. all of a sudden, slowly they started backing out mm-hmm. and you're like, what's wrong with me? Because mm-hmm. ultimately nothing is wrong with you, but I think there is this conditioning, this belief mm-hmm. subconsciously or consciously that you want to get married, mm-hmm. you want to have kids. Mm-hmm. And so you feel like it needs to happen versus wanting it to happen.
Right.
I think the need and the want is very different.
Yeah. But I do think that there is a need too, right? Like there is a need to like as
get
humans,
married.
Oh, is that what you were saying? Sorry.
Yeah. Need to be with somebody and get married and have kids.
I feel like there's definitely, I feel like as humans, it's innate for us to need connection, right? Like, and I feel like sometimes you can find that connection through friends and family, but I definitely feel like there's a different connection when it comes to a romantic
partner.
You can't
get intimate.
Right? You can't have...
That's the only thing lacking when it comes to friends.
I was going to say you can't have sex with your friends, but I don't know. Like,
but listen,
hey,
that's
to each
why,
their own.
That's why emotional connection to me is most important.
Right.
You know, I don't know what you feel about that. I feel...
What'd you say? Say that one more time.
Emotional stability, emotional safety, emotional connection is very important for me.
For sure. I think that as you age, and this is, I think, where me, you know, one of the pros of being single and being older is as you age, you create...
I'm sorry, you're not older.
You're older.
You're really not older.
I mean, older, like from like your 20s.
Compared to...
I'm like definitely not comparing myself to you, silly girl.
Okay. I'm older than you.
When we get older. Yeah. But you see, but I guess what I'm trying to say is that when I was 20, I didn't know, like I didn't, in my 20s, actually, let me take that back. Not just when I was 20. In my 20s, that wasn't my concern, emotional maturity. I just wanted someone to love me. I just wanted to be loved. I just wanted to be showered with love and affection and nice dinners and, you know, chivalry, et cetera, et cetera. And I still want all that. Let me clarify. I definitely still want all of that. However, emotional stability is so important to me now because I understand it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's the thing sometimes when people that get married younger. And again, I don't think that there's anything wrong with people that have gotten married young. It's totally okay and fine. I know people that are happy that are married, who got married young. But I definitely feel like your level of awareness as your own individual is limited when you are in a relationship with someone, right? Now it's not just about you anymore. It's about your partner. Mm-hmm. So like with that being said, emotional maturity, you grow to understand that through your life experiences, through your partner, through your kids, through your whatever work, et cetera, et cetera. But like there is this different level of understanding when you are yourself by yourself. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I just feel like, I agree what you're saying. I think that we both have like friends that are married and stuff and we're not, you know, trying to shit on them.
Yeah,
getting,
I'm not trying to shit on anyone. And
we're so close to them and we learn from them. You know what I mean? Like we learn what a healthy relationship. You were telling me like how you have friends that are in healthy relationships and
marriages,
married.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So totally. It's like you look up to them and you're like, okay, this is what I would like too. And this is what I wouldn't like.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think ultimately for people out there that are wanting to have, I don't know why I'm losing my train of thought.
No, I was actually thinking when you were talking about it, I wanted to go back to like the question of, let's erase train of thought.
Yeah.
I want to go back to the question at hand,
yes,
which is how do you deal with being single in a generation or in an environment where you know, like everyone's getting married and everyone's getting engaged. Like, first of all, we talked about like, how do you connect with people like that? Right? How are you able to connect? Right?
Right.
And I think a part of it is like, you have to like love yourself.
Right.
I know that's thrown out so much.
Right.
But there is a whole like science behind loving yourself. Right. Because I do feel like when you are content with yourself, when you are happy, like psychologically, personally, professionally, mentally, like I really do think that that plays a big factor in how you approach like your circle. You know, it's about celebrations, right? It's like celebrating others and not feeling like, why aren't you having that? You know, why aren't you in that same position? I think when you stop comparing yourself is when, you know, you won't feel like you're lacking something, even when your friends are getting engaged and married.
Yeah. Totally.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that.
Like my sister, I wanted to, sorry to interrupt, but I wanted to give you an example of my sister, and hopefully she doesn't care if I'm giving an example, but it's just like reality of it is she's in her late 20s and everyone, like most of her friends are engaged or married.
Right.
Or getting married.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, where am I? I was like, well, you're at USC. You're going to be a pharmacy.
Right.
Like you're going to be a pharmacist. So it's like that in of itself has its own beauty of like who you are and what you love.
Right. Yeah, totally. But I totally agree. I also, as you were speaking, I was thinking like, okay, how sometimes lonely that can feel when you don't have much in common with your friends anymore, at least conversation specifically, right? Like if you're around a group of friends who are married or have kids, right? Like how lonely that must feel. And then I started to think, well, doesn't the other party play a role in checking in with you and engaging with you, right?
I love that.
Right. I was just thinking about that because I'm going to be quite frank. When I'm around my circle of friends, sometimes they get really into their conversations about their kids and their lives, and it's all great. But I'm starting to think like, okay, how often do any of them check with me, with my life? You know,
I think that it's important also that your friends, you know, check in with you and ask you like, hey, like how are your travels or what's coming up for you? And what have you been up to, you know, versus just like the category at hand, which is like soccer and kids. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
I'm thinking about my friends, like soccer and kids, and there's a basketball and there's a, I don't know, like.
But that goes back to connection. And I think like, if the question is, how do you handle being a single woman? How do you handle being around your friends, like conversation wise? Like, how do you handle that? Or how do you feel about yourself being around these people? I feel like it goes back to connection. What I'm hearing that person ask is, I'm not feeling connected to my friends. And it may not just be about her being single and not fitting in. It may be about them not making an effort with this particular person. And I just thought about that.
Good point.
Sometimes I feel that way too.
Good point.
I really do feel that way. And it's not personal. It's really not, because listen, having kids and being married and having a dog, like it's a lot of work.
White picket fence.
It's a lot. It's a lot. And it's easy to personalize and think like, okay, my friends don't care about me. It's easy to go there, but I feel like to have a healthy relationship with anyone, whether it's friendships, family, or a relationship, it has to go both ways. And,
I agree.
And so maybe that's the thing, is you're not feeling connected because your friends aren't making an effort for you. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah. I actually agree. Like I was thinking, as you were talking, I was thinking about a friend who does make the effort. Like she's married and she does make the effort to check in with me or go to dinner with me just one-on-one. You know what I mean? Like, and that builds the relationship. It allows the relationship to flourish and continue after, I don't know, 20 years of my friendship with them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I feel like sometimes that I have to put the effort in my friendships. And that, you know, that could be like checking in with them or because they have kids and, you know, they're dealing with their own stuff. But it's like, I feel like if I don't put the effort, I don't know if I'll ever hear from them again.
Yeah. Sometime.
You know what I mean? And I'm talking about friends that I've known since I was like 5 years old.
Right. And like, so then it goes back to what do you do in those types? Because honestly, think about it. If it's not addressed, or if you don't do what you need to do to take care of you, but you're around these people or these particular friends, you know, then there's like this level of maybe resentment, whether we are aware of it or not, this level of anger or this level of like disassociation, right? Like where it's like, I'm just here just to be here. And that's not pleasant. That actually is very unpleasant, right? And I was just thinking like, I feel like if a relationship is important for you and you're feeling left out, or if you're feeling like you're not connected because you guys are in two different transitions in your life, then I feel like if the person is important for you, it's worth having a conversation with them about
Absolutely.
It. Like, listen, I know it's not personal, but I sometimes feel like it's about everything else that I can't relate to. And I know I don't have that connection and that, you know, with kids or with marriage, but I would love it if you can check with me or if I can have the space to talk about my stuff. Right? Does that make sense?
I love that.
Right?
Like, I wish we can repeat it and like write it down and like...
Well, we can. You know?
I think that people don't have the words to articulate, you know, how they feel. Mm. And people, you know, don't really have the words to like really express how they feel. Mm-hmm. Even for me as a therapist, it's hard for me to communicate.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Me too. Like, I'm human. I mess up all the time with my friends. Yeah.
Sometimes it's like vulnerable to communicate like how you feel and sit and say, you know what? I don't really like the fact that you said that, or didn't make me feel good when you did that, or how you acted in that moment, you know? So it takes a little bit of time for me to do it. I know a lot of people around me don't. Mm-hmm. I know as a therapist, I practice to communicate effectively with my friends, even if like whether they hear me or not. Mm-hmm. But it does take me a little bit of time to get there. Yeah. I have to admit.
Well, I feel like, you know, and that's totally me too. Like, I'm human. I know I've had my moments, especially recently in the last, I would say probably year and a half of my life. I feel like I'm in such, I'm single. I was going to say I'm still single.
You're single. What is a single? You're single?
What's a single?
I don't know. Maybe it's a new word you just created.
I meant to say I'm still single. Uh-huh. But when I say still, that carries so much shame. No, I'm just single. I'm single. Yeah. And
I love how you caught that.
Yeah. I was like stopping myself, but I was already in the middle of saying still. But yeah, no, I'm single.
Say it loud and say it proud.
I'm single.
Wait, am I single? I'm single until I get a ring on it.
You're
actually a lot of people
in a transition.
Well, I think like, I don't know. I'm also traditional in many ways too.
Yeah.
And for me, like, I don't know. A ring does signify something. I didn't wait this long.
Yeah.
Not to, you know, have a ring that signifies a relationship and partnership with someone. That means a lot for me.
Yeah.
You know,
me too. For sure.
So I think for me, I'm in my head.
Yeah.
The single is like, I mean, you never know what would happen, to be honest.
Well, no, you could be in a relationship with someone and you're technically you're not married, but you're in a monogamous, if you could be in a monogamous situation with someone, which is essentially a relationship, right?
I don't know. It's scary for me after, I don't know. It is. It's actually scary for me after a while of like being single. How long have I been single? A couple years?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Well, I don't know.
Dating here and there, but yeah. No, I've been single for a couple of years. Okay, be honest. Okay. We're not counting like 5 months of like.
No?
No. Oh, I don't count that.
Okay.
No.
All right.
I don't count that.
Okay.
I'm not going to.
Okay. I think you just don't want to.
I don't care for it.
I really
No, I mean, listen, I don't know like what I was doing at that time within the dating. Yeah. It was just dating. You know, and that's another thing about dating is that like, just because you're dating somebody like, you know, for a month or two, like you really get to know that person. Mm-hmm. Like it takes a while until you get to know someone truthfully.
Yeah.
You know,
it's definitely a process.
Yeah. But if they show themselves from the beginning, mm-hmm. I feel like the relationship takes can take off pretty fast in a good way. Mm. Because people are, they're at their best in the beginning of the relationship. Mm. And then slowly they kind of change things up. Have you noticed that in relationships?
You're talking about just dating?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're dating somebody for like more than 2 months.
Listen, when you're dating someone in the beginning, aren't you on your best behavior? Aren't you like, you know,
yeah.
Right? Like, aren't you on your best Sunday outfit? Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Kind of. I'm not going to lie. I've become more like myself in like, you know, like dating that, like, you know what I mean?
But your best version of yourself.
Yeah, I have been. Exactly. And I've been showing my silly side and I have a silly side and I like to show it once in a while. It comes out with like a wine or two, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what I want. I want to be my best self and for my partner to see that. So I think that came out earlier on in my relationship.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. 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 I think that, so wait, what's the question?
What I'm trying to say is like, I'm trying to be authentic, fully me in the beginning of my relationship. Because I think that's very, very important to be yourself and show your true colors, but in a beautiful way. Like your true colors is amazing. You know what I mean? Like if you get like, you know, if you drink three glasses of wine, you're like, oh, I feel really good.
Yeah.
Have your partner see that.
Yeah.
And what did that looks like? You know? So my question is that, you know,
does that change?
Really. Does that change? Mm-hmm. Like, cause you can date somebody who's not fully authentic with you. Mm-hmm. And then 2 months later, they kind of change.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that it's important to be your true authentic self in both ways. But I also think that when you're dating someone, you really try to be, you know, the best version of you in the beginning, right? Like you're trying to impress someone, you're getting to know someone. I feel like it's like that in any relationship, not just a romantic relationship, even in friendship. I feel like I'm like not going to be an asshole and say no, you know, like when, you know, three of my new friends want to go somewhere, like, you know what I mean? Like, so I just feel like you are your best version of yourself and hopefully that continues. But this is where I think work is important in relationships, both, you know, again, in any relationship, that you have to really work and maintain being your authentic self. And sometimes being your authentic self is not always pleasant. And I feel like, so that's going to change. So you're not going to be in your best behavior in the beginning of a relationship. You're going to get more comfortable and you're going to see things that you may not like, but that's part of the process of dating, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, being your authentic self is so important and that's why you want to be that. So like I had a client the other day who we were talking about like dating and, you know, she hadn't dated for a while and she was really nervous, but really excited at the same time to go on this date with this person. And I was telling her, you know, just kind of prepping her that it's okay to be your authentic self, be who you are and watch them and watch to see how they are because that they may be themselves. They may not be themselves, but watch them for, they're going to tell on themselves in some way or shape or form.
Yeah.
You know, you can't assess someone if they're being truly authentic until you get to know them, but you be who you are.
Yeah. And I think nowadays, in this culture, it's like, we have like TikTok and everybody's like paying attention to like toxic red flags, you know, like, do you see that on social media? So it's like, everybody's so invested in like, is that a red flag?
Yeah.
Is that manipulative? Is that a love bombing thing? What is that?
Right.
You know, like everybody's so into like needing to, you know, catch the red flags. I feel like,
let's talk about some of them. Yeah. I know we started, we started this podcast talking about like, you know, single, a person asking about being single and being around other people.
But I think it's all interconnected, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. But I'm like being, whoever that single person is, I feel like this topic is going to be important too. Let's talk about those red flags.
Yeah.
Because I definitely feel like that's so loosely thrown out there. And we've had this conversation multiple times. We've even had debates about some of these clinical terms. Or actually, I don't know if they're clinical, like these like whatever.
I think it's
terms.
What it was like created.
What was the thing you and I were having a debate about?
I know what it was.
Which one was
the love bombing?
Love bombing.
Yeah. But it's like, first of all, like, do you know who created love bombing? Like who came up with love bombing?
No, but I'm going to find out because you're looking it up.
I'm Googling it.
I don't know who created the term
love
bomb.
And I'm the narcissistic abuse recovery therapist. But
that's going to be good to know. Look it up because Natalie and I were having this conversation one day and I honestly cannot remember the context of the conversation.
I know what it was. It's because somebody I was dating,
dating
and then, you know, it was things that I'm not used to. It was very much like flowers in the beginning, right, you know, like, but right. It wasn't overdone. It was just like, he would send me flowers and he would just like, you know, very, chivalrous. He was very chivalrous. And I guess for me, we were talking about like, okay, is that love bombing? And you said it was love bombing. And I was like, but he's not like a toxic guy. He's opposite of toxic. He's actually an empath and really remarkable man. So is that love bombing? And you said you said love bombing doesn't have to be bad, but for me, actually, love bombing is more of a controlling and manipulative tactic used by toxic people.
I remember now. I remember the conversation, and by no means, like, I think when we were talking about this person, like, even in that context of that conversation, it wasn't like to belittle this person. It was
not
more
at all.
I think it was just more of like, you know, just the conversation that came up and then the term. But yeah, that was exactly the debate, like where I was thinking like, and maybe that's not the right term, but like I was thinking someone can love bomb someone and not necessarily be a manipulative person. Someone could have, let's say, traits like manipulative traits. Someone can be manipulative in some areas of their life, but that doesn't necessarily make them a malice person. Like they're not like, vicious or anything. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's human nature to do things sometimes, right? Like, okay. I'm looking up, sorry to interrupt you. Don't lose that train of thought, but like I'm looking up love bombing. And I think we did this too when we were having this conversation. It says the action I don't even know. It's just Google, whatever. The action or practice of lavishing someone with attention or affection, especially in order to influence or manipulate them. Right.
That's where it comes from.
But here's two words.
Manipulate.
But there's two words. It says influence and it says manipulate. Two words. Influence and manipulate.
But it's bad influence. That's not good influence. You see what I'm saying? Like when I hear...
I disagree with that.
So when I hear love bombing, when I hear the word love bombing, it's automatically, for me, it means toxic. Mm. So I wonder though, what makes you think that love bombing is a good thing?
I don't even know if it's like a good or a bad thing. Oh. I guess what I'm trying to say is it can be a bad thing, right? Mm-hmm. If the person is doing it with the intention of manipulating them. However, if the person is doing it with the intention of influencing them, I don't think that that's like the worst thing in the world.
Why would they influence them though?
Why not? They want to be on their best behavior with you. They want your attention. They want to make sure that you have their attention or you know what I mean? Like, why not? That someone is getting to know someone, they're going to be on their best behavior. They're going to like shower you with love. You better shower with me with love. But if it's manipulative, that's different. If it's influence, right? Mm-hmm. Like I feel like that's just who they are. They do it because, you know, and maybe bombing is not the right word. Maybe it's love. I don't know. I got to think of another word.
Yeah. I know where you're coming from, but I see it differently. I see because maybe that's a little bit more of a sensitive word for me because, you know, as a coach, I mean, as a therapist, as a coach, like working in the field of narcissism, the first time I heard love bombing is when I did the research on love bombing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I did the research on narcissism and love bombing was part of the cycle of abuse. So for me, it's associated to that. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, sometimes, I mean, let's say for example, if you say like, you know, this person is love bombing and they might not be toxic. To me, I wouldn't use that love bombing word to describe somebody who's chivalrous or is influencing you in a good way. I personally wouldn't use that same word. Maybe there is a different word that you can come up with. For me, like I wouldn't use that, especially for my clients, because my clients already know that love bombing is not a good word. It's part of a cycle of abuse used by a narcissist. Whether that word was there before narcissism existed or not, it's used in the field of narcissism. So anybody you come across, coach, therapist, they're going to use the word love bombing and it's not good, basically. You know what I mean?
I use that word in my practice as well, because I think it's, you know, it's pretty clear when someone has, I mean, at least for us, when we hear it, we see the red flags from clients. But I was just thinking, maybe that's just not the right term. Maybe it's, I just thought of it. love showering.
Ooh.
Right?
I actually like that.
Love showering.
How did we go from like single to like talking about like single people? I think we have ADHD. Undiagnosed ADHD.
ADHD, because we're bouncing all over the floor.
Well,
here.
Maybe that's just part of like our podcast and our connection with one another, because yeah. we literally bounced with from like every subject, but whatever, you know, like it's never a dull moment.
This is us, literally. But
what did you call it? Love
showering.
I like it.
I swear. Let's Let's do a TikTok on that.
You need to like, I don't
Should
know.
Should I
like,
coin it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Love showering.
I'm love showering.
I like it.
And then you come in as the love bombing, but like, you know, we do it together, right? Like,
I don't want to be the love bomber.
Not as a love bomber, but like the educational element.
Oh,
of it.
Okay.
Natalie's always telling me to do a TikTok or a reel yeah. and I have yet to do one with her. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we can do that. I don't know.
Oh, you're open to it now?
I'm open to it.
I'm not dancing
though.
You know, why?
I'm not about that
I love
life.
Dancing.
I'm not dancing.
I haven't danced in my reels and TikToks yet.
Well, I mean, I'm just not dancing. I think you secretly want me to dance
but you,
with you.
Because you dance really well. You know, outside the scope of like internet, and I just wish that people can see it.
That's why you want like, me to go on a TikTok with
you. You'd be so good at it. I just don't know why you don't do it, because you're so good at like articulating your words, and you're so funny and silly, and like you're Thanks. Also a therapist. And from what I know,
yeah,
you're like that with your clients. Like you're yourself.
Sometimes Natalie will say like, because we share an office together, and sometimes she'll be like, I can't hear what you said. All I heard was your laugh. So I know there's a good time in there.
And I was like, I don't laugh in my sessions. What is happening with my sessions? You know, like you're laughing with your clients. I'm like, okay, oh my God, that's cool. Funny. That's
no,
cool.
I do. I mean, I feel like I am myself in my therapy sessions with the professional element, of course.
Yeah.
And, thanks for giving me those compliments. I will strongly consider it. I'm not ready for it yet.
Oh
so
my gosh.
Let's just figure that out. But yeah, anyway,
when are you going to be ready for it?
I don't know. I have to think about it. Going back to, I feel like we can totally do a whole podcast on like an episode, like these love terms, right?
I like love showering. We should talk about that. Like the healthy version of like chivalry and showering with like,
but do you see what I'm saying? Like, do you get what I'm saying? Like, people can, and it's just maybe the bombing part is not the right word. It's changing the word. Do you see what I'm
saying?
It makes a difference, because I definitely feel like sometimes people do that. Like people are on their best behavior in the beginning of a relationship, and they shower with attention, maybe not necessarily like, you know, romantic stuff, but like even attention, even phone calls. And then it starts to dwindle down and it's like, wait a minute, what just happened?
I want to go back to, you asked me on top of what you just said, you asked, what are the red flags?
Yeah.
Okay.
Red flags for what though?
I'm going back to red flags, because it's like continuation of what you were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
In a relationship.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about, you just mentioned something about like in a relationship, right?
Yes.
And like in a romantic relationship, how you would be.
In terms of the clinical terms?
Yeah. What were you talking about before?
Well, we were talking about, I think like love bombing came up.
Yeah.
And then I was saying we should touch on these terms because, you know, there's so many of them out there, mm-hmm. and I feel like it can be interpreted in so many different ways.
Yeah.
That's what
we
were talking about.
Yeah. So we were talking about the bombing part, right?
Yeah.
Like that's already, it's like destructive. Uh-huh. So it's in the word. So that's why it's not like, for me, I don't think it's a good way to portray and like a relationship that is, quote, I guess, healthier.
Yeah.
I wouldn't use the word love bombing, but love showering could
it's
be
good.
Some, yeah, I really like that. But that's the, it kind of reminded me of the question you asked, like, what are the red flags?
Oh, right. I can't remember.
Right?
Yeah.
You asked like, what are some red flags you wanted to talk about? And I was thinking about something.
Oh, yes. Red flags for a relationship being what? Toxic? Unhealthy?
Just red flags. In a relationship.
Yeah.
So people who are
that people choose to ignore.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Let's talk about it.
I was going to say inconsistency.
Mm-hmm. Not being consistent.
Yeah. It's like,
so
they're
important.
Really, this is what happens when you're dating. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, we both know that, like whether it's like online dating or, you know, getting hooked up by like family members or friends, you know,
there are
people where they're consistent at first.
Yeah.
And then they're not.
Yes.
You'll see them slow down.
I was literally about to talk like, touch on that right
and
now.
And in a healthy relationship, in someone who is consistent, won't back down or won't step, they won't take a step back. They will be consistent. So if they're texting every day and then they stop texting, I'm sorry, that's inconsistent. If they're texting every day and they continue texting, that's healthy.
Wait, okay. So I'm going to disagree with that a little bit because I think you're absolutely right about the lack of being consistent. So inconsistency. I totally agree with that. I think consistency is important. However, this is where I disagree. I think in relationships, you tend to get comfortable. So how a partner was with you in the beginning, such as sending flowers every other week or calling you and checking in with you regularly, like they tend to get comfortable. Let's talk on the calling every day, right? Like, okay, now your partner knows your schedule. And so it doesn't feel the need to constantly check in or talk to you or whatever it is. Check your, if you're safe, because they know where you're at, right?
You're like, talking about a partner that you're dating for a while, or are you talking about like the two people who were just started dating?
Okay, no, I think I'm talking about like when you've known a while. Yeah, you're talking about
About like the first stage of dating, which is like connecting online or, you know, like someone's hooking you up with a friend, you know, like your friend's hooking you up with a guy and it's a blind date, whatever it is. Yeah. Like, what does that look like?
That's
in
a
the
total
first,
red flag,
I would say 3 weeks of dating.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I see what you're saying. Yes, 1000%.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I was thinking long term because I just went into this place of like thinking of like a couple of relationships or people that I'm working with or people that I know personally.
Oh, okay.
And just like how that changes. Even though I still think that there's unhealthy to that and I was going to go somewhere with that. Mm-hmm. You're right. When you're dating someone in the beginning, whatever time frame that is, first couple months, whatever, first couple weeks.
Yeah.
If they're not being consistent with calling you or asking you out or making an effort to get to know you is the underlining thing.
Yeah.
Then yeah, that's not going to work out.
Yeah. I interrupted you because I knew what you were talking about like being in partnership with someone that, you know, like later on when you get to know them even more.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. I was talking about like initial like stages, which is like the first couple of weeks of getting to know someone.
You're right. Totally. Yeah. I mean, what the hell? Why aren't you calling me anymore?
So what would be your red flag?
What the F-U-C-K? what would be my red flag? Let's see. I mean, definitely a lack of consistency is an issue for me, right?
Yeah.
Also, I was talking to this guy and I think he brought up politics.
That's where you messed up.
Fuck. Excuse me for my language. But he literally, we had great conversation. We talked for like a few days. He was consistent, like check. Everything was wonderful about this person. And then we had this conversation accidentally about, you know, the current politics. And I just, first of all, full disclosure, like I'm not in a position to debate about politics because I'm just, as much as I educate myself, it's not of interest for me. You know what I mean? Like I have a surface level awareness and education when it comes to politics.
Yeah, you're like a libertarian because you're not like one side or the other.
No.
And you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like you're an empath and you just want everybody to get along and you just want things to work out for the benefit of people.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not like a hardcore, you know, whatever party it is. But however, this particular person was a hardcore party. I mean, I'm not going to say, let's take that out.
You don't have to.
I mean, I don't know. I just like, you know, like this person was just hardcore. Mm-hmm. This person was hardcore and kept wanting to understand why I couldn't agree to some of the things he was saying about this particular politician. And I literally did not say nay. I just said, I don't want to talk about it. That was such an uncomfortable experience, to be honest, where I was
for me,
because it didn't seem very uncomfortable for him. It seemed very like normal for him to be pushy with his belief. And it just seemed like he was trying to integrate like, I don't know. It was just,
it was extreme.
It was extreme. That's a red flag for me. Yeah. That's a red flag for me when you, it's not about politics. It's about you trying to influence and change my mind. You can have a debate with me all day long, but when I check out of a debate, you better respect that. If you
can't
respect that, we have an issue here. Now you're trying to.
That's why relationships don't work when they have two different political views and they're trying to push each other's beliefs onto one another. And you can't do that.
In the past, I'm going to be honest, in the past, what I would have done was I would have been like, yeah, you're right. Of course. Like I would have been easily influenced by that intentionally and sometimes even unintentionally, but I just for the attention or just because I like this guy, he checkmarked every box. Actually, I just noticed that about myself. In the past, I would have totally been like, yeah, I can see what you're saying. Yeah. Like I can see that, but I just didn't, it's not that I didn't think he was right or wrong. I just didn't want to engage in that type of conversation and he was being really pushy. Yeah. So I'm really proud of myself to say, yeah, no, that was a huge red flag for me. And needless to say, I definitely did not call him ever again. You know
what
I mean?
Well, I think that goes back to like, you know, like the values that you have and you want to date somebody that has like similar values, but which is like respect.
Just
it's
respect.
Not even politics not or religion.
Politics,
it's about respect.
It's not.
Respecting each other's viewpoints.
Absolutely.
And not a lot of people are able to do that. Whether you're like, it doesn't matter what political views you have or religion you have, respect one another. You know, people get married who have different religions. As long as you guys are on the same page of how you want to raise your children,
right.
That's the beauty of it. They can have two different religions. Like you guys have to be on the same page. That is why I think religion, politics, those are, I would say two things that are very important to like have like the value of, you know, like being on the same page with your partner. It's not just the same value. It's not the same political view or religious view, but it's how they respect it.
Yeah. I think you mean like politics, you're talking about politics and religion?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I don't know. With politics, it's a little tricky. I don't have to be immersed in politics, but my partner, whoever I'm potentially dating, may feel like that's an important element in the relationship. Mm-hmm. That's not going to work.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
I don't think so. If that person is an extremist, right? If that person is like really extreme in their political views and they're like, no, this is why die hard. This is who I am. And you're like, well, you know, I'm not like that, but they're like, no, you have to be like, what do you mean? This is how you have to see it. Did you not see this happening? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, aren't you seeing the world? So that's really trying to like, you know, influence you to take their standpoint versus that person saying, you know what, like, you know, my girlfriend or my partner is like, you know, she sees things differently, but this is what I believe in. This is how I am. You know?
You can have difficult political views like different religious backgrounds is what you're saying, but
I think it's harder.
Yeah. But see, but when it comes to values, like, are you talking about like value, like politics is a value of mine. Like my religion is a value of mine. And if that's not aligned, it's not going to work. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, actually I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying like, you know, it depends on the person's characteristic, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you know, is that person empathetic? Is that person respectful? And if those two are like, you know, that person has that, I think that any politics or any other religion doesn't affect it. For example, like if you're Christian, would you date somebody outside Christianity?
I mean, yeah, I would.
Okay,
but
if they're like, you got to convert and you're not okay with that, what happens?
That wouldn't work for me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you value your religion and you might have to like, you know, date someone who values that as well.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
So, but then there's could be somebody who isn't like so extreme with their religious beliefs and they're like, okay, like I respect yours and you respect mine and we can like raise our children together and coexist. That can also be, it's harder, but it can happen.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah, totally. I think that, when it comes to, but see politics, I don't know. Like I just, maybe cause I just don't really value politics and I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying that, but like, I just don't. Like it's not one of my top three things that I value. I'm so sorry.
You're not going to get in trouble. Why? Because you're on a podcast and people are going to listen. Who's going to listen to us? You think it's
who's gonna like who's argue gonna with listen me about to that? Us? Like, our population, the people that are listening to us are gonna be like, yeah, girl. This is F-U-C-K.
I know, politics. Right? Whatever. But no, you don't have to. You don't have to say that. And our world isn't just surrounded by politics. At the end of the day, like, we are good people, and we, you know, do good things in this world. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to value it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. It's definitely not on my top list. It's for sure.
Yeah.
Wow. So, we're all over the place.
I love it. But you know what? This is us.
All over the place.
This is us.
This is us.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's the beauty of, you know, like, our relationship,
yeah,
and our connection, and our podcast can be very different. It's all over the place. And I think people who resonate with it is going to understand it. And you know what? I would love to hear more questions. Like, if people have questions, to like reach out to us on like email, or, you know, like, yeah, send us a DM on our podcast. And we would love to hear like what works and what doesn't, and like what we can talk about more next time.
I love it. This was great. This was really fun.
I know.
It's just literally like,
do you like it?
I love it.
Do you like, this is the second, do you love it?
This is our second episode. Yeah. It's really exciting.
I know. It's great. It's fun.
Yeah. Good. Well, yeah. This was good.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well,
I don't know how to transition that. Okay. I'm not done talking.
I know.
I'm
just kidding. We're still talking. I love it. Honestly, right, we can talk forever.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Well, tune in for our next podcast.
Yes. Our next podcast.